Good morning and welcome to On Fire Radio, brought to you by Catskill Mountain Christian Center, a full gospel family church and Christian academy located at 629 Main Street in beautiful Margaretville, New York. What a great day to go to church. If you don't have a church, come on over to Catskill Mountain Christian Center. We would love for you to be our guest this morning. That's Catskill Mountain Christian Center this morning at 10 o'clock. If you'd like more information about On Fire Radio or Catskill Mountain Christian Center, give us a call at 845-586-4848. I'm Renard Bartow, and I'd like to invite you to join us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you On Fire Radio. Now let's go to Pastor Bob Engelhart with today's message.
So 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord." So we're talking about transformation. So no matter what my level of formal education is, no matter what my level of street smarts or wherever you place your ego places its identity, a place where you consider yourself to be pretty sharp, all of those places have got to be subjugated to the Word of God. And it says that we're like looking in a mirror at the glory of God, the glory of the... we all, with unveiled face, bare unveiled face, no pretenses, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Now, I would offer the place where you're beholding as a mirror the glory of the Lord is the Scripture. And so, you know, we in the church we teach that people should read their Bibles, right? Read your Bibles. But I really think that this is a little flip. But I really think more importantly is that you let your Bible read you. I think more importantly than you reading your Bible is letting your Bible read you. Because that's when you find out all the change can begin to take place. When you read Jesus and you really begin to take what he said seriously. You know, a lot of people find a lot of mystery in what Paul says. But I don't really find that much mystery in Paul. I find this profound logic. It's just not easy. So it's not that Christianity is, you know, whether you think it's right or wrong. Christianity is not easy. When the Word of God reads you, you find out more often than not, in some areas, we come up wanting. We've been weighed, we've been measured, and we've come up wanting. And those words of Jesus, they're such a straight line. They're what do they call it? The Zerubbabel, the plumb line? The plumb line of Zerubbabel, right? I mean, Jesus' words cut right to the heart. So we're being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. And that is really important that you know that God is not working on everything every season. That he's working on something, you know, from day one in the creative week to day two to day three to day four. But he's always bringing you forward into a new level of conformity. So we're not to be conformed to this world, but transformed by the renewing of our mind. So the scripture says, let a man examine himself. Let the scripture read you. Jim Johnson just wrote a piece about why it is our inclination to want to remove a speck from our brother's eye while ignoring the beam in our own eye, as Jesus put it, right? And you let that read you because it's supposed to cause a probing. We're supposed to probe ourselves. You're supposed to take those words and say, is that me? And how? What would it look like if it were me? Yeah? Jesus said very clearly a couple of times in a couple of different ways, beware of hypocrisy. Why did he say beware of hypocrisy? Because it's the easiest thing in the world to fall into. Because you go to church and you see these nice folks for an hour and a half and you go home and, you know, you can be somebody completely other, right? And that makes you, makes us hypocrites, right? God wants us to be one person all the time. He doesn't want there to be versions of ourselves that we can act out different times for different people. If you're not natural in your skin as a Christian, if you can't walk naturally in your own skin as a Christian, you got to let the Word of God read you a little bit. And so that you can come through some of the changes that the Word requires you to make. This honesty that we walk in spirit and in truth. Because you get, Christians, they try to trick the Word of God. So they'll criticize somebody or they'll say something real nasty to somebody. Well, I was just speaking the truth. Yeah, but you're supposed to speak the truth in love. Well, I was just, I'm just saying the truth. You know, it's like, no, it's not, the truth alone will kill. It's the truth in love that might heal. Are you with me? The book of 1 Samuel, there's a period of time before David really enters the picture where Saul is still the king. The Philistines have overrun the Israelites. And it says, it just goes on and on. Just from verse 19, I want to read a couple of lines and tell you why. Verse 9 of 1 Samuel 13. Verse 19. Now there was no blacksmith to be found throughout all the land of Israel, for the Philistines said, lest the Hebrews make swords and spears. But all the Israelites would go down to the Philistines to sharpen each man's plowshare, his bannocks, his axe, and his sickle. And the charge for sharpening was a pim, for a plowshare, the mattocks and the forks and the axes, and to set the points of the goads. So it came about on the day of the battle that there was neither sword nor spear found in the hand of any of the people who were with Saul and Jonathan, but they were found with Saul and Jonathan had swords and spears, but none of their men is what he's saying. So thinking of the process of transformation, and kind of in my assessment of the Christianity that's most common in our day, in our generation, reminds me of a Christianity without blacksmiths. Now, there's a show on TV that if you've been around me very much, you'll hear me asking, have you watched Forged in Fire? And Forged in Fire is a blacksmith show, and not just blacksmiths, but they take the raw metal, steel, iron, whatever it is, and sometimes they'll have a junk car and they have to cut a leaf spring out of a junk car, and they're going to make a knife out of it. They're going to make a sword out of it, and the entire process of blacksmithing is heating to super hot temperatures until heating so hot that metal becomes malleable. And when that becomes malleable, they strike it and strike it and strike it. And they get it into such and such a shape by heat and by pressure. By heat and by pressure. By heat and by pressure. They strike it and strike it and strike it. Then they grind it on a grinding wheel until they have this wonderful, sword. They make all kinds of swords and weapons of antiquity, and it's a contest kind of a thing, reality show. It's a lot of fun. So the Philistines were smart. So what they did was they took all the blacksmiths away. They made blacksmithing outlawed in Israel. Why? Because they were smart enough to understand if they took away blacksmiths, then the Israelites couldn't make weapons to fight them with. Not only that, but then they had to come down to the Philistines to get their farming tools, which are not fighting tools, they're farming tools, and they would have to pay the Philistines to sharpen their farming tools. So the word to the modern church is, don't make waves in culture. You know, you don't have the strength, and we have church folks who are not taught that it's a good and decent part of the process of becoming a child of God to be heated and struck. To be heated and struck, to have your ideas, brought into question, to hit you with God's word, to speak the truth of God's word, and heat you up until you become malleable. And now you can begin to be formed, transformed into a weapon of use for the Father. That's being transformed. That's letting your Bible read you. Because unless you, I may be the only one, I never have found the Bible that much fun for me. It's like, this is all me. No, this is not me at all, right? This is not me at all. I got to start becoming what it wants me to become. And that means the deep me. You hear they're talking about the deep state these days? You hear they talk about the deep web, the dark web, the underneath the web, the deep. How about the deep me and you? How about the deep state, you and me? Being struck, being heated, being struck. Having our attitudes adjusted. Having our biases realigned. I think it's probably one of the most important pictures in the Bible. There have been times throughout my walk with, as a minister, as a pastor here, and this is the kind of person that scares me usually because they'll come and say, Pastor, whatever you have to say to me, here I am, man. Say it. I could take it. Many times can't. Many times can't. You know not what you ask. Because when I put my finger on that thing that you don't even think is a thing yet, and I put that my finger on that thing that's your idol, that thing that you're protecting, that thing you think you're keeping in secret. The Bible says the works of the flesh are evident. It means that third horn growing out of your head that you like, everybody else can see it. And if you walk around with enough attitude, nobody will call you on it. Because nobody wants to get in a fight with you. Right? It really does take a humility to come to God and say, I want to be fixed, God. I want to be fixed. No matter what the cost, I want to be fixed. Then you find yourself in trouble. You say, God, I didn't mean this. Right? You find yourself going through some very difficult circumstances in life, and you went like, God, why have you forsaken me? And God is saying, you asked me for this. You asked me to change you. You asked me that you could become my child. And in order for that to happen, I got to heat you and I have to strike you. Oh, God would never hurt me. Read it. Read it. Hurt you for your salvation. Hurt you to dredge up some things that are ancestral in you. Okay, we're unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. We read our Bible, we behold as in a mirror Jesus Christ, the glory of the Lord. And that begins to shine in your heart. You fall in love with Jesus in the most real sense of the word. You recognize you've hit pay dirt. When you've discovered Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you've hit pay dirt, and there's nothing like it in the whole wide world. Knowing you've hit the pure source of absolute love and life in all the universe, the one good thing in all the universe, when you've discovered Jesus Christ, all you want for the rest of your life is more of him. And whatever it takes to conform, in my life anyway, whatever it takes to conform me to his will in a very real sense of the word, I want him to do. I don't want to be halfway in this thing. I don't, you know, but maybe a couple of us could actually know him. Actually know him and be driven by him. Ananias and Sapphira Christians, right? You have to be able to trust your ability to understand the Bible. And I do think it's a dumbed down game that we play. You read something that's just as clear, as crystal clear as it could possibly be, and then you have to go and ask somebody what the meaning of this scripture is. No, you know what it says. You just don't like it. Right? You don't like it. Oh, you've looked at a woman with lust. You already have committed adultery. No, you know what it says. You just don't like it. But that's not realistic in this culture, is it? You better believe that your culture is not going to usurp God's word in eternity. Romans 12 says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. I beseech you by the mercies of God. I beseech you by the mercies of God. You're going to need mercy for this one. I beseech you by the mercies of God. You're going to need mercy for this. What is it that we're going to need mercy? You present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Doesn't even make you a rock star. Presenting your body holy before God doesn't even make you a rock star. It's just your reasonable service. Right? Can you and let the scripture read you? Let the scripture read you? Right? How are we doing with that one? How are we living? We should ask ourselves that every day. You should ask yourself first thing in the morning, last thing at night, how am I living? How am I living? Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Do not be conformed to this world. Do not be conformed to this world. And some people say, okay, so we got to dress up in black like the Amish people or something because we're not going to be conformed to this world. It's not what he's talking about. He's talking about your mannerisms. He's talking about it in your speech. He's not saying don't wear the fashion of the day. He's saying let your heart be converted, conformed. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You'll know what it is to be blessed, what a blessed life is. There is a thing called a blessed life. You're not necessarily going to be the richest guy in town. Blessing isn't just about money. You can be content with yourself, that you can have a love relationship with some other children of God and have real friends. The word holy there means that we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy. Holy means morally and spiritually excellent. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy. It means morally and spiritually excellent. As Christians, morally and spiritually excellent as Christians. Acceptable to God is your reasonable service. And I like that your reasonable service has to do with service. That's a doing word. Service is a doing word. A servant is a doing person. So your reasonable service. Service is a doing thing. That means that God wants your hands busy. Not just your confession, not just your, you know, God wants your hands to be busy. It's your reasonable service. It says, they who wait upon the Lord will renew their strength. A lot of times this presenting your body, there's a period of time. There's a period of time where God is watching, where God is watching how long you can be in a fixed position without breaking down. Moses goes up on the mountains, and what do? They're having a big party. I mean, he's up on the mountains for just like a month or something. They're having a party. You know, they give all their, they get gold, and they give it all to Aaron, you know, and he forges this golden calf. Because that was the god of Egypt where they just left. And they're having a party, and everybody's wasted and everything, and Moses comes down from the mountain, and he's just livid. And as a matter of fact, God has to say, Moses, I hate to tell you, but your people down there, you know, they messed up really bad. He says to Aaron, what the heck with this golden calf? Aaron says, I don't know what happened. I put gold in the fire and it came out. Yeah. People don't change. This calf came out. I don't know what happened. And before that, it said he forged it. Right? They who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. There will be time periods where you're not going to feel that God is doing anything exciting. That's not incumbent upon you to take it into your own hands to A, go ahead and start partying, or B, create some Ishmael like Abraham did, right? Take God's will into your own hands and just start doing. Sometimes he's just watching you. He's going to say, are you going to break ranks or not? Are you with me? I'm, for one, I don't like those times at all. I always want to be doing some kind of a crazy fun thing, get myself in trouble, you know. Then I have to cry out for help. God, save me, please. Romans 12, skip down to verse 9. And this is, okay, so we're being conformed. We're not being conformed to the world, but being transformed. We're in this process of transformation. And it's a wonderful process because you get to become the best darn person you could believe. You really get to be a good Joe if you will follow the prescription here that the Word of God gives us. You really will become a good egg. You'll have wisdom. You'll be useful to God. You'll have love in your heart every day of your life. You won't have this bitter, twisted, vitriol, poison, magma in your inner man that wants to spew out every time you get a little pressure comes on you. It says from verse 9, let love be without hypocrisy. What would love look like if it were hypocrisy? It means I'd say, hey, Brother Joe, how you doing? And I'd hug your neck, and then I'd go and talk about you behind your back. That's what we call hypocrisy, right? Let love be without hypocrisy. Abhor what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor giving preference to one another, not lagging in diligence. What does that mean? You know, when you lag in diligence, you're the guy who hangs back when there's a job to do. And you're just sort of fading back and seeing if somebody else will jump to service ahead of you. Not lagging in diligence. Diligence is something, it means you respond immediately. You respond. You're in the thing. I'm in. Let's go. Let's get some work done. Yeah? Fervent in spirit. You know, passion is a good thing. Fervency is a good thing. To be on fire with love for some wonderful, excellent cause is only good. Being fervent in spirit. I love Jesus with all of my heart. I love Jesus with all of my heart. fervent in spirit. That has some heat to it, the love that I have for Jesus. I don't consider my service toward Jesus to be work. I get to play for a living. Fervent in spirit. Serving the Lord, rejoicing in hope. Rejoice in hope. And you say, I want to do something. I want to be something. I'm behind you. I don't know if anybody else is. I'm behind you. I'm behind you. I know that you can do it. If the Lord has put it in your heart, absolutely. It says, patient in tribulation. Yeah, it's so funny to me. You know, about 30 seconds of tribulation, and then I'm ready to say uncle. Right? Patient in tribulation. You're going to have to learn that in this transformation process, to be patient in tribulation. You can't just fall off the horse and you go whining and complaining immediately. You got to at least, toughen up. It's the blacksmith, right? Get heated up. Sometimes you're just getting heated up. You're just in the oven getting heated up. It's getting hot in here. It's getting hot. And all of a sudden you say, okay, now God, I'm ready for a break now. And you get a whack instead. Right? He strikes you, puts you on the anvil and strikes you. And I'm like, what was that about? Just when you think things couldn't get any worse, now you're taken out of the fire and you're put on the anvil and he starts striking you. What is that? People speak words against you. People speak words that hurt, right? Heat and strike. And eventually, when you're formed, you get hardened, right? They dip you in a tank of oil, and it hardens that steel. And then you are dangerous. Continuing steadfast in prayer, distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. Bless those who listen to this. Dear brothers and sisters, if you haven't been struck yet today, bless those who persecute you. Yeah, I'm real good at that. Not. Right? Because first you want to strangle the guy that persecutes you. Right? You want to run him over with your car, perhaps, when they persecute you. No. Don't be conformed to this world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Bless those who curse you. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. Be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in doing so, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Amen. It's generation transformation.
Hello, my name is Jake Johnson, and I want to thank you for listening to this edition of On Fire Radio. Pastor Bob shared a wonderful message to us entitled, Generation Transformation. And if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and have never become a new creation for God, would you pray with me today? Lord Jesus, I recognize that I am a sinner. I recognize that I am far from you. Jesus, I recognize that you died for my sin. I turn from my sinful ways today and place my life in you, Jesus. Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill me with your power now. Father, thank you for your sacrifice. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me today, I'd encourage you to get a Bible, start a prayer life, and find a Bible-believing church. Once again, this is Jake Johnson on behalf of Pastor Bob Englehart. I want to thank you for listening to On Fire Radio today. God bless, and we'll see you in church.